is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The man's name is Teixeira, a 21-year-old airman, now allegedly releasing classified documents to the internet, to his compadres who we're told were younger than 21, perhaps teenagers, perhaps his age. But in any event, releasing them not for profit, not for passing it to an adversary of the United States, classified documents, highly classified documents, documents in real-time intelligence about a war in Europe and other conflicts, releasing them to impress them. I welcome Dan Henniger, writing his Wonderland column at the Wall Street Journal, deputy editor of the editorial page, because Dan has taken the instance of Mr. Teixeira and connected it with other news items recently and asked the question, what is going on here? Is this something that the young people have forgotten, the risk that they're putting themselves into by crossing the bounds into disseminating intelligence or going online and committing what we understand to be communications fraud and larceny? Dan, a very good evening to you. What did you find? What do you find in Mr. Teixeira that is revelatory about, I guess this is Gen Z? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Yeah, well, his name is Jack Teixeira, who was part of the Air National Guard, 21 years old, and is working in an area of intelligence, possibly as nothing more than a technician, keeping the computers running, and somehow gained access to all of these hyper-sensitive documents, which he then took away, photographed, and started sharing on a video game messaging platform named Discord. Could there be a more appropriate word for a platform, John, than Discord? It's kind of a fitting label for the times we're living in right now. And, you know, this is not to, let's not try to insult the millions of video gamers out there having fun. It's like the most popular media form out there today, video games. But these guys had obviously descended into a deep world of fantasy and were incapable of seeing the distinction between documents that were putting the lives of Ukrainian soldiers at risk. There was some pretty sensitive information on there about the war in Ukraine, and the lives, the sort of avatars and made up lives on screen. And it occurred to me that there is a lot of that going on, that there is, especially among younger people like Jack Teixeira, who seem not to be able to see the distinctions, as I put it, simply between right and wrong. The famous other recent example of this in the news has been Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of FTX, and his co-workers who were down there in Bahamas throwing around billions of dollars as though it were monopoly or play money. And Bankman-Fried has always given the impression of not really quite being able to distinguish between the pedestrian realities of responsible money management and the loopy games they were playing with these billions. And the final example that has occurred to me, John, which is actually pretty grim, and that is the persistent weekend killings that happen in big cities all across the United States, mainly consisting of young guys taking out guns and shooting down other young men, boys even, children in these cities, with really seemingly no sense that this bullet is going to extinguish a life. And how did we come to a point where so many people out there are unable to form a distinction between reality and fantasy and between right and wrong? And I think the simple short answer is we stopped teaching it. There's just no, they don't know it because they've never learned it.
There was a remark early on in the Teixeira story where the explanation for why he was seeking to win the favor of this large group on Discord, which is a way of talking to people while they're playing games, multiple game players. He was looking to break out of the isolation of COVID-19. I remember reading that early. It's maybe a rationalization, but it does point to the fact that living your life through a screen distorts your understanding of right and wrong. It suggests that. I don't know if that's accurate, Dan, but certainly if your life's experience over the last 3 or 10 years is to be rewarded for your time on screen, not for your time getting to and from school or taking a test, there would be an upside down world there. I can't explain it, but I think you see something that I've not read about before. The suspension of morality. Just, it's not right or wrong. It's outside of the world.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of distortion, or at least reshaping of consciousness. God knows, with the going up from one screen to another as constantly as people do, some of it involved with games, some of it involved with social media, trying to curry favor on social media. I mean, journalists themselves do that on Twitter, trying to post remarks that they think will be favored or applauded by others. And, you know, the word that came to mind to me at the end of this was, how do we distinguish or feel the distinction between right and wrong? And it's something known as conscience. And what jumped into my mind, believe it or not, John, was that the famous 1940 Walt Disney movie, Pinocchio, has Jiminy Cricket singing a wonderful song with the lyric, "Always let your conscience be your guide." And a generation of American kids grew up knowing that line, "Always let your conscience be your guide." And the conscience was what sort of stood on your shoulder and said, "Don't go there. Don't do that. That's not the right thing to do." But can you imagine anyone putting a lyric or song like that in a kid's movie today? "Always let your conscience be your guide." It would just be regarded as pitifully old-fashioned and unsophisticated. Well, I think we're paying a price for having forgotten that your conscience, something called your conscience, should be your guide.
The puzzle also, Dan, is, does this connect to the stories we get routinely now about despair among the young people, envy or self-doubt because they go online and see people performing in some fashion that they don't think they're capable of achieving? In other words, despair comes from online as well as a sense of risk.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And I got an email on the column from a friend of mine who is Italian, lives in Italy, and was telling me that he's got kids who've tried to work in the United States, but they feel that so many of their peers, young peers in the U.S., are so self-conscious about offending people and about performing well in social media that it's just hard to fit in to a culture that so emphasizes those things. And there's less of that certainly in Europe, but it's an issue. We're aware of it here in the United States. It's not getting better. Artificial intelligence is probably going to exacerbate it. And somehow as a society, we have to pull ourselves together and try to draw some bright lines, or we're going to all be lost in a kind of fog of uncertainty.
Daniel Henniger, Wall Street Journal Editorial Board, Wonderland. I'm John Batchelor.